Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's gonna be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. We have something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey there, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. I'm Terry Molinaro, and we are almost at episode 100. Can you believe that? Episode 98. Very, very exciting. If you're new here, maybe you didn't know this. Well, obviously you wouldn't know this if you're new here, but I've spoken about it a few times over the past 98 episodes that when I started the podcast, I made a 10-year commitment, and we're currently at year four. I think it's year four. I feel like when you make commitments in terms of multi-years and decades, things kind of blur together, but I can't believe it. Already almost halfway there. But this podcast is going to be a little bit more casual. I wrote down a few things that I've learned over this past year. It is almost my birthday. It's less than a week away. And I think that when it comes to any of these milestones, whether it be birthdays, whether it be New Year's, for me at least, I get really deep in thought. And I think, okay, what did I actually do over this past year? How have I improved myself? What are the things that have been difficult that maybe I, you know, could improve on moving forward? You know, what are the things I can implement? The things I've constantly got caught up on, good and bad. Because I don't know about you, but in the past, I feel like I would have these big goals. Like I'd have the traditional, like, oh, I want to get fit, right? Because who doesn't want to be fit? And I'd be like, next year, this time, like, I will be fit. I will have like a six pack when I'm celebrating my next birthday. But then you actually go into it and something called life happens. And if you don't have a plan to achieve those goals, man, I don't know if they're really going to take place. Like they could happen, but odds are probably will not. So I like to look back. I like to see what worked, what didn't, and then try to implement some things as well. So let's jump right into it today. And just bear with me if the notes are a little bit over the place. I just was making some quick ones and I wanted to read them for you today. So the first thing I wrote down is it's in the challenging of beliefs that some of your greatest growth will come. It's in the challenging of beliefs that some of your greatest growths will come. This one takes me to the gym, right? So there's a few different things that happened with me when it came to my fitness this year. One of the things is trying to find a workout routine that works for me and for my schedule and for my, I don't even know what you would call it, but like energy rhythms. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like I can be super productive and do amazing mental work in the morning. Like, I will be the sharpest up until about 1 p.m. Then after that, I feel like I start to dip a little bit. Now, I do want to correct that. And I think I can with some proper nutrition, proper diet, maybe some making sure like hydration's good and some breath work. Like, that's something I'm actively working on. But I recognized that my peak time is in the morning. So what I would do is when I was trying to get healthy and go to the gym more consistently, I was just out of necessity having to force myself to go very early in the morning. But what would happen then is I'd push myself so hard in the morning that then as the day goes on, when I needed to be productive, I'd be too tired. So then I'm like, okay, I can't do that. So what I did do is I was like, well, I'm super alert at like, let's say even 11. So then I would do work in the morning. I would stop work, go to the gym, come back home, finish work. But that didn't work either because then here I am and I'm coming back and I'm just interrupting my day. And then I'm still kind of feeling tired anyway because I just worked out hard. So that wasn't working. So now I'm experimenting with doing all my work at the beginning of the day. When the day is over, going to the gym like 3:34 before I get super busy and then doing whatever else I need to do at the end of the day. So I guess the mini lesson in here is just because something works for someone else doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work for you. And to just try experimenting. If you know that that goal is a good goal that you actually want to achieve, then keep trying until you're able to achieve it. Don't just go, oh, you know, like it only works for my schedule at this one time. I'm just going to start working out here. And then you find that that doesn't work for you and go, oh, well, I guess it's not for me. No, don't do that at all. Just keep trying and eventually you will figure it out. That has been such a theme throughout my life in so many different areas, whether it's like business or finances or something I didn't understand at first or even some relationships. It's like, hey, keep trying. If it doesn't work, that's okay. If it doesn't mean it needs to be over and that dream doesn't have to be over, just keep trying. Now, when it comes to the lesson that I mentioned, it's in the challenging of beliefs that some of our greatest growth will come from. How does that relate to the gym? Well, what I was noticing is I was going 3 times a week, maybe 4 times a week. And I thought to myself, that is all I can do. But then I was like, wait a second, I'm self-employed. I kind of make the own rules here. Like, why would that be my limit? Like, have I ever tried going 5 days a week, 6 days a week? Have I ever actually tried that? The answer was no. So there was 1 week where even though I had Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, like ingrained in me, it was a Wednesday, supposed to be my day off. And I was like, I'm going to force myself to go to the gym. And force myself, that's exactly what it felt like. But you know what? I was able to do it. And then I started consistently finding this pattern of Monday through Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for weeks and months. And I got into it. And I'll tell you, I don't know what it was about that extra day. Maybe it was just because like my body, like I was constantly in it and I was actually pushing myself hard. But that is actually when I noticed results, you know? So that's really exciting. But it was in the challenging of the belief of I can only do this many. I don't think I can physically sustain this. I'm like, why was I even believing that? So it's in the challenging of beliefs that some of your greatest growth will come. Definitely a lesson that I learned this year. Another thing I've been trying to do is I've tried to get comfortable with being a bit more uncomfortable. Tried to have more and more uncomfortable conversations. Like I'm not trying to cause issues, but trying to really throw myself in there and then think within that. Not just get caught up in emotions, but say, okay, this is an opportunity for growth. It's not just a confrontation that I'm having to endure right now, right? Instead of like, oh, I have to talk to this person. I'm so nervous. It's like, okay, you have the opportunity to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be uncomfortable. And because of that, if you approach it properly, growth can actually come. So I've learned so much by doing this. I've found that you can even remain like civilized during a disagreement. It doesn't have to turn into a yelling match. It shouldn't turn into a yelling match. Like you don't have to lead with intensity. You can find resolution. So I've been kind of finding that I've been viewing these interactions almost as like kind of puzzles, not to solve, but like, can I navigate this? Like, why is this other person responding to me in this way? Like, let's look at the body language here. You know, what is their intentions behind this? It's been very interesting, but trying to get comfortable with being more uncomfortable. I've also been challenged with the people that have surrounded me this year. I've been surrounded by a few people that I would put in the category of almost at first, like my first impression is they kind of rubbed me the wrong way, or at least, they did at first. Like I felt like our personalities didn't really match, but it's been great because if you think about it, we as humans are incredible at picking up on and sticking to patterns. The problem with that is the patterns can lock us into things. So by me being forced to be around, you know, the type of people I would usually not go to, you know, try to hang out with, it's forced me to adapt to their unique views, the way that they talk, the way that they interact with other people around me, like their energy. And I don't mean in like a new age way. I mean, like, you know, the way that they just show up. And, you know, one of these people that I was hanging out with and, you know, they were in my life is like their personality was like very like confrontational, very in your face all the time. And I'm just a whole lot of energy, right? I'm pretty sure, especially one person that I have in mind too. It's been so great because I feel like my personality rubs them the wrong way. So together we can just navigate it. And I think a lot of growth has come from that. I think about Mel Robbins when I'm thinking about all this stuff, the author and speaker behind the 5-second rule. Full transparency, haven't really gone deep on her books and podcasts, but she has this video once that I saw that said, listen, no one is coming to save you. And this is a big lesson I've learned this past year. That has been something I've definitely been thinking about. I make the decisions for my life. You make the decisions for yours. No one, though, is going to save us. Obviously, on a spiritual level, God sent his son to save us and the Holy Spirit partners with us. But when I say no one is going to save me, I mean, no one is going to get me out of bed in the morning. No one is going to make me eat healthy. No one's going to make me spend time to be intentional with my wife. No one's going to force me to go to the gym. No one is going to force my business, you know, announcements not church to succeed or follow up with sales calls. Like, no one is going to force me into these uncomfortable conversations. If these things are to happen, I need to happen to them. And that's been a huge lesson. If something's going to move in your life, it's going to be because you are going to make it move. I was talking with someone who's a few years younger than me, and they really wanted to start a business. And I can just hear them going through the same process that I had when I was first starting out. And they were just like, oh, well, you know, like a couple years and I'm just going to do this. And it's like they're kind of dancing around the things that would actually cause change to happen, because that change is uncomfortable, right? And these things that they need to do, they need to become more. They need to get around people. They need to do the more difficult things. But those things are the ones that really move the needle forward. So it's just interesting. I don't think any one of us are exempt from this. But if things are going to happen, we're going to happen to them, right? We're going to have to stand up and we're going to have to make it happen as well, of course, with God's guidance. It leads me to another lesson that I've learned this year. And sorry if I'm going really fast. I just wrote down all these things, but I want to preface this by talking about Dave Ramsey again before I go into this next lesson. But the man is known for his podcast on finances. If you listen to a lot of his talks, he's a lot of practical wisdom as well. He has something he calls stupid tax. When you do something and it's the wrong thing and you can't recoup the cost of that stupid decision, just chalk that up, he says, to being stupid tax. The money you spent because you didn't really have the knowledge. Many times he talks about this, like with being a car, like let's say someone buys a car and they have like a loan that is so much money that's just killing them. They can't afford things anymore. So then they're like, he's like, sell it. But then sometimes the car is what's that proper term? Like they're under like the value. So if they bought it for 23, they owe 20, but the car's only worth 15. Well, there's a $5,000 gap right there that they're going to have to make up. And he goes, it's okay. Take out a loan, pay that off. That is just chalked up to stupid tax. That is what you have to pay for making some of these dumb decisions. And I feel like I have definitely done a lot of stupid things. Now, here's where the lesson comes in. There are a couple of things that I bought when I was starting my business journey that I thought were the best things for my needs at the time to buy. Quickly, I found out, though, as a matter of fact, they were not the best solution. But because they were expensive items that I spent a lot of money on, I didn't try and resell them, or I didn't just cut my losses and buy what would work. Instead, for years, there's a few things I tried to make them work. I tried to force them to work for me. For the most part, they did, but it was never a pleasure, never very easy. One of the items was even around like $10,000, but you know, I'll give you an inexpensive example. So this wasn't the $10,000 one, but I had this heavy duty video tripod that holds the teleprompter, like the audio recorder, all the stuff I use to film announcements on a weekly basis, me and the team. Now, this tripod is actually not meant for the studio. It's meant for landscape photography. So basically, with the setup I have, and for some other reasons that I won't mention because it's just not relevant, I can't properly really set this up consistently without a lot of tweaking. Like every time I even bump into it, or, you know, I touch something on it, or I adjust the camera, like everything goes out of whack. Like it just can't be leveled very easily, and it just needs to be readjusted. So this tripod was over $1,000 though. So I haven't replaced it because I'm like, oh man, like that was expensive. But here's the thing. Every week it gives me trouble. Every single week. So here's what I did. I set a fixed amount of time and I said, here's the problem. You have this amount of time to find the solution, because I'm trying to do what I think it's Brendon Burchard talks about. No decision in your life besides who you're going to marry and when to quit a job should take more than 2 weeks, or else you just keep ruminating on it and it just kind of brings you down, takes too much energy. So I'm like, okay, set a time. This is the amount of time you have. Find a solution, make a decision. Try to sell the current tripod if you can, but like if you can't, give it away, throw it out, whatever. Why? It's just stupid tax. But trying to make something work instead of getting what will just distract you from ultimately doing and achieving what you need to do. So stupid tax, learn the lesson. Money is not sacred. It will always come and go. Learn the lesson, correct it, and move on. Don't just try to deal with a bad decision and try to correct it as you go. You're just kind of perpetuating the inevitable. Does that make sense? I think that we could do this in our lives with so many things, actually, with routines that don't work, with relationships that don't work, with money patterns that don't work, with friendships that bring us down. I even love the example of money. I can't help but think about this, but it's like, if you are constantly spending more than you make over and over and over and over again on things that are not going to eventually bring you income, like not assets, any of these things, like, it's no wonder that then you are struggling. It's tough. It's tough love, but it's definitely true. And it's very, very simple. So we spend so much energy trying to make these things work for one reason or another, only to realize that in fact, the changes will only come when we choose to make those changes. But if something isn't working consistently, there's probably something in that situation that should be looked at and changed. Now, I'm not saying just throw away relationships, of course. That's a bit of a different category, especially if you are married. That's definitely a different category. But if there are things that are consistently draining, even if at one point in time they were great, listen, it may be time to move on, make changes. All right, that leads me, I guess, to relationships then. The people around us that we choose to do life with. So Megan and I have gotten really good at this, but not everyone in life gets equal time or access to our lives. Oh, Terry, that's kind of harsh. Well, here's the thing. My wife and I are both leaders. We don't choose necessarily who is constantly around us. I get that. Specifically because of some of our positions. I made the mistake, though, of being the same level raw and honest with everyone that I would be, say, with a really close friend. And I felt like that only opened myself up to things that were not productive. I've spoken about it in the past in the show, so if you wanted to go back in time, I'm sure you'd be able to find more about what I mean, but fully open and honest, there were a few times this past year where I let my guard down completely with different people that I didn't have relationship with, and as a result of being very vulnerable, I felt like there was some ideas planted in my mind that messed with me a little bit. No one was trying to be malicious, I don't think. It was just a sense of I was a bit too open, too quick, and soon with people I didn't quite know that well, and as a result, nothing good really came out of it. This past year was very, very unique, as you can probably hear from what I was just talking about. I'm only going to have, you know, 1 year where it was my first year going self-employed completely with no safety nets or guardrails of any kind. As I mentioned earlier, that meant that I was put in situations that I never anticipated, things I didn't even know, situations that I thought would turn out differently than they did. But this past year has been rich with lessons and blessings along the way. Right off the top, I'm thinking about two scripture verses, Proverbs 3, verses 4 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Hey, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I remember when I would dwell on this verse, it's one that I have committed to memory. I thought of it, don't lean on your own understanding. Well, when you lean on something, what are you doing? You're trusting that whatever you lean on, it's going to hold you up. So if you're thinking that your own understanding, your own opinions of things, your own thoughts of like, oh, this is how it's going to work, that's going to work. It says right there in Proverbs, that's not enough. In all your ways, instead, acknowledge God, seek God, ask God. And then because of that, he, God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, will make your path straight. The second verse that really came to me when I thought about this past year and how I wanted to wrap up the show today is Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. You know, ramping up this small business over this past year has taken up a lot of thought space. It's real. You know, there were weeks when I was in the middle of something where I'd go to bed thinking about the business. I'd wake up. There's a couple of times I'd wake up at like 3 a.m. I'd go downstairs because I couldn't sleep. I'd like start working on the business and then wake up in the morning thinking about the business. There were times where it was super exciting and weeks where almost every single day I would think, why am I doing this? Why don't I just get a normal, like, I'm just going to go work at Walmart or something like that. But in the midst of all that, whenever I would ground myself, whenever I would do what Matthew 6:33 talks about, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, when I would stop and seek the kingdom of God first, peace always hit my life and I was renewed in my efforts to keep moving forward and doing what I know God has called me to do. You know, whenever I started getting nervous about things or anxious about decisions, when I stopped and took a breath and lifted them up in prayer, God was good to give me the wisdom that I needed. It wasn't too long ago, it was the other day, and there was a situation that was just going on that it could very easily have been wreaking havoc in Mina Magna's life and other people around us too, just because peace was, you know, being stolen from different things and there's a lot of confusion. And I was going to respond to it. And even though I probably could have came up with like a good response, I just stopped and I was like, Holy Spirit, like, I just need your wisdom. I just need your wisdom. And the wisdom was just so simple. You know, when God told me what to do in that situation, and that's what we did, and peace returned to it. So I think that this coming year for me is definitely going to build on the lessons that I've learned. But at the base of it all, I pray that God will always be there. I pray that I would not get distracted by the things that make it so easy to get distracted with, but I'd keep Jesus at the center of it all. You know, even as we get ready in a month or two to cross past the 100 episode mark and what that will mean for the podcast and the exciting things I've planned, like, I can't help but think, like, it's called the Church Acts Podcast, founded on the principle that we as the church need to take action, but action in and of itself is not enough. It's the driving force behind the action, because people take action all the time. But like, what is the main driving force behind that? A clear vision founded on wisdom from the Holy Spirit that drives it all is what we need. The partnership of the Holy Spirit that drives it all. That is the foundation behind the entire thing. So let's make sure that in whatever we do, we don't lose sight of that. So go out and be healthy. Go out and be successful. Take care of your family, yourself financially. Make mistakes, learn and grow from them. But we need to make sure we never lose sight of what's most important, because the moment you start taking God out of the picture, at first I was going to say is the moment you start to lose everything that means anything to you. But the moment you take God out of the picture, it'll feel like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can. And that's the scary thought right there. And you keep moving on and you keep getting further and further. Then you realize God's not involved at all, And then things start to fall apart. Lessons I've learned this past year, I'd say to myself, I don't know if this would be me speaking to myself at the beginning of the year, but I'd say, Terry, you're going to have some bumps along the way. You're going to have some actually really scary, really difficult times ahead of you. There's going to be things that are going to psych you right out and try to convince you that it's going to be like this for the rest of your life. It's going to be hard. It's going to be uncertainty. But the Holy Spirit will always be your ever-present help in times of need. You do not have to be afraid. Fear, the acronym, false evidence appearing real, that is correct. You do not have to be discouraged, though. Stay with God. Take courage, because if you do, you will go where you need to go. You will do what you need to do. You will meet who you will need to meet, and it will all be well worth it in the end. So give it your all every single day. Learn fast. Make mistakes. Pay attention. I would tell myself, hey, pay attention, because you have people to love on, people to reach and help. That is your why, and that is where you will find your most fulfillment in this life. I know today was more casual of an episode. I always love to hear what people actually have learned over their past year. So if you want to share that with me, pardon me, there's actually a link in the show notes that will allow you to send a voice memo in. I'd love to hear from you as far as what has been the biggest lessons you've learned recently. So once again, just hit the show notes, show more, and you'll see a link, and then you can just record a little voice memo there. That'd be so cool to hear from you as well. But thanks for hanging out with me again. Big things are up ahead. I think if we pay attention, you know, if we say, God, just give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, like, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. Pay attention. What's worked? What has not worked? You know, how are you actually growing? Are you focusing on the main things, or are you like that business person who wanted to start a business but was purposely self-sabotaging, focusing on all like the maintenance tasks versus the needle movers, which is a podcast I should be doing sometime soon. If we do, it allow us to reach and help and inspire more of God's people and just accomplish what we really need to accomplish in this life. So until next time, my friend, go out there, be a man or a woman of action. God bless.